You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. I'm Jeff Metters, Director of Theology and Content at Send Network, and I'm here with the President of Send Network, Vance Pittman. Vance, how are you, brother?
Jeff, I'm doing great, man, and it is great to get to do this with you. This is our first time as a tandem here hosting the podcast together, and I'm pumped to be able to do it. I'm really ecstatic about your role on our team. You know, when we invited you on the team, one of the burdens that I have with the rise of networks and the demise of denominationalism is the lack of theological both training and accountability that exists in a lot of church planting networks. And your role with us as the Director of Theology and Content at Send Network, bro, I just couldn't be more excited, more pumped about you being on the team and the value add that you bring to a network like ours with just your ability. Your ability to produce content. I've just never been around anybody like that. So yeah, it's great to get to do this with you today, man.
Oh man, it is an honor. I was so tickled and just excited to join the team, to be a part of what God's doing at Send Network. One of the first events I went to and just saw the vibrant spiritual life, the zeal for evangelism and for conversions, and to the true heart that is just among so many of our leaders, among every leader that I've interacted with, and I know from city missionaries and beyond, just to really want to bless church planters, to see churches thrive and to see people reached with the hope of the gospel is a thrilling thing to be a part of here on the team, to serve with you and Tony and so many others. So man, it's a blessing for me, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, excited to get to do this together today.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. And today we want to talk about why, as we talk about these networks and talk about this denominationalism you just mentioned, is why every church planter needs a network. And our guest today is Aaron Cavan. Aaron Cavan is the senior pastor of Life Community Church, which he and his wife started back in 2007. And over the last 17 years, Life Community has grown from a Bible study in their living room to a growing family of churches on the South Shore of Massachusetts, with three parishes in Quincy, Braintree, and Weymouth. In addition to pastoring Life Community Church, Aaron is Send Network City Missionary in Boston for the North American Mission Board. He and his wife, Courtney, have been married for 23 years, have five boys. He loves Jesus, his family, and good barbecue, which in Boston, I don't know how that's happening, but I guess it is. But so Aaron, welcome to the New Churches Podcast, bro.
Thanks, Jeff. Man, I really appreciate being here. And man, good barbecue is a little sparse to come by up in these parts. So I had to learn how to make it myself, but all my traveling has taught me what good barbecue tastes like. So whether that's in Tennessee, Kansas City, Texas, I'm a barbecue connoisseur. So I'm all about it, man. Okay. But I'm super glad to be here today. Vance, thanks for having me on, man. I'm excited to talk about this topic in particular.
Aaron, it's great to have you on. But before we get into the topic, you just raised a pretty hot topic, like barbecue. So tell me, what's the best? We kind of choose friendships over where the best barbecue is. So,
I know this is going to be a little bit offensive. I'll tell you what I do like. I like me some Alabama white barbecue sauce. I think that is a gift to the barbecue world, especially chicken.
Best on chicken.
Best state in America to get barbecue. If I'm going there, I'm going Texas.
Yeah, let's go, Aaron.
But I'm a brisket guy, so you're going to get the best brisket in the world is in Texas. And so
I'll give you that. If you're going to talk beef, see, I grew up where when you said barbecue, what you meant was pork. Like, you didn't even think beef. Sure. You thought ribs and you thought pulled pork. So I get it on the brisket. I'll give you that. I think Texas probably has the best brisket. I think Memphis probably has the best pork. I think Kansas City probably has the best sauce. I'm a sweet, mapley, brown, sugary sauce guy, and so I love Kansas City sauce. But all right, I'm just glad nobody said North Carolina, because we'd have to just kick you off the show. Because
that's right.
Vinegar and barbecue should never go together.
That's a different world, man.
Yeah. Well, before this turns into a barbecue sponsored podcast, which it could easily happen. There's a lot of passion here. Vance, you're the president of Sin Network, the largest church planting network in North America. God is doing so many things here with our network. Well, let's ask this question. Why does every church even need a network?
Yeah, there's a phrase, Jeff, that I know you and Aaron have both heard me say a lot, and our team probably gets sick of hearing me say this phrase, but it's the phrase biblical missiology. I think we don't need to come up with a plan of how to accomplish the mission. I think Jesus gave us a plan. It's rooted and grounded in the text of Scripture. And if you're going to go to a biblical missiology, no church in the New Testament joined in God's activity alone. The New Testament ethos was kingdom collaboration. They did it in relationships with others. I mean, just think about how many times Paul wrote a letter to one church on behalf of another church, either raising money, thanking for praying, thanking for sending teams. He talked about this church having sent people to help this church. There's just this spirit of collaboration. One church can't accomplish the mission by itself. We all need, and some use the phrase network. Some people say tribe. Some people say family. Whatever you want to call it. One church can't accomplish the mission by itself. The mission demands collaboration, and that's really rooted and grounded in the text of Scripture. So it's not like networks are a new thing, this idea of family and tribe and doing work together. The New Testament biblical missiology is one of kingdom collaboration, and it's why I think every church needs to be connected to a family of other churches to join in the greater global eternal redemptive mission of God.
Yeah, that's so good. I immediately thought of the book of Titus, where you've got Titus there left on Crete, and Paul tells him to install elders in every town, that you've got this network of churches there, even on this little island of Crete, which is not very big. There is a network of churches there existing. And so Aaron, you're not only a planter and a pastor, but you've also stepped into a network leadership role there in Boston a few years ago. So why would you add that to your plate amongst all the other things you've got going on as well?
Yeah, man, I believe wholeheartedly in the vision of Sin Network. I am for what we're trying to accomplish. You know, back in 2007, when we moved to Boston, to plant our church, there wasn't a ton of church planting resources back then. There wasn't big conferences. There was a couple of books. Aubrey Malfers wrote a book, Planting Churches in the 21st Century. Ralph Moore, Starting New Churches. And so, man, I read what I could, learned what I could. And one of the things that Ralph Moore says in his book, Starting New Churches, is that the single most effective method of evangelism in the world today is planting New Testament churches. It's churches planting churches. And so I think it's important to understand that if the single most important effective method for evangelism in the world today is churches planting churches, then honestly, I think it's important to understand, in my opinion, the Sin Network is the greatest resource in North America currently that helps churches do that. I don't know of another network that offers the holistic scope and approach and support that Sin Network does on the level that they do and is reaching as far as they are. I mean, honestly, I'm not saying that because I'm on the team. I'm on the team because I believe that I don't think at this moment in history, anybody is doing more to help churches plant churches to reach our country, our region than Sin Network. And so the opportunity to serve as a part of that team for me is a gift, and it's a lot of work. There's a lot of things to be done, but man, it's fruitful work. It's what I want to give my life to. So I'm grateful to be on the team for that reason.
Well, and Aaron, a lot of people don't know your story that like Sin Network is the church planting arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, the SBC, but that wasn't your tribe. Like you were not SBC and kind of rolled into Sin Network. You were, and I'm saying this because a lot of people listen to New Churches podcasts who are not Sin Network. They're not in the SBC larger family. Yeah. They're just leaning in. And I think it's a compelling part of your story that what brought you to the table was what was happening within Sin Network and why you chose to do this.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I mean, so I didn't start SBC. I grew up, you know, just independent Baptist. I started this church out here, you know, in 2007, there wasn't a ton of people. I had a couple of friends that I'd met out here, another guy named Sean Sears. was already out here. And so we made a connection there. And we started out of that church. I mean, Sean Sears read the same book I did. He's the one that turned me on to starting new churches. And he was convinced that if you don't start a church within the first 5 years, you're not probably ever going to start a church. So Sean sent us out, 70 people at that time at Grace Church, and sent us out with whatever support and resource he had. We started our church, and it was a grind. Honestly, it was like a grind for the first 3 or 4 years to get past 30 or 50 people. It wasn't like we exploded out of the gate. We didn't have a ton of resource. We didn't have a ton of help. There wasn't a lot of church planting going on in the Boston area at that time. And so by the time we got to year five, we'd seen God do some great stuff. We'd moved into a new location. We had a couple hundred people coming. But to be honest, myself, my team, my wife, we were exhausted working multiple jobs, trying to get this church off the ground. And what we needed more than anything at that point was to lock arms with some brothers and sisters that make up a larger family of people. And to be honest, one of the major reasons, I mean, money's a part of it, but in my story, that wasn't a driving factor for me. I wasn't looking for money. I was looking for network. I was looking for brotherhood, family, dudes to lock arms with that would remind me that the kingdom of God is bigger than I thought it was on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. It was bigger than I remembered it being in my everyday comings and goings. So when I was tired and weak and feeling like, man, I don't know if I got what it takes to keep moving forward, Getting in the trenches with these other brothers was reminding me, dude, the kingdom of God is on the move. That yeah. Boston is experiencing a movement of God, and I get to play a little piece in that. I just needed to know who else was on the team so that I could be family with them and be encouraged and strengthened by them.
So yeah, good. Aaron, some of the, you kind of alluded to it a little bit. I want to tease that out now, is obviously church planters and leaders, they have so many options for engagement, so many places they could be a part of it and connect and lock arms. So in your opinion, as you look back and as you even look today, what are some of the essential components of an effective network for church planters? What should they be looking at and looking for as they look for a partnership there in a network?
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, I don't want to discredit money. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we all know that financial support can be a burden for a lot of people. And in particular, when you're talking about planting in urban contexts, I mean, if you're talking about planting in some more rural parts of the country, that may not be as great of a need. But when you're going to plant in Las Vegas or Boston or New York City, I mean, any of our I-95 Northeast Corridor cities, it's expensive to live up here. And so money is important. I think it's also worth noting, though, that money by itself is not going to be enough to sustain you. Because the truth is, we have lots of planters and pastors around the country. I don't say we necessarily as Sin Network, but just in general, right? Like people who are in the game, there's been plenty of pastors and planters who had all the resources in the world, but they still didn't make it. And part of it is that money itself, you know, we're not going to have enough money to buy the kingdom. That's not how it's going to work. It's important, but it's not the only thing. And so for me, coming in and not really looking for money, I found that there was a lot more intangibles. I came in under a great leader, David Butler, who was the Sin City missionary in Boston before me. And what he demonstrated for me was a love for planters and a passion for multiplication. So in those days, when he first got on the scene, I'm talking 2000, gosh, 13, 14, 15, sometime around there. When he got here, we were just a bunch of orphan planters scattered throughout the city that were planting our own churches. And David Butler and his wife, Gail, because we know how that works, right? You know, David's a great leader, but a big part of that's because he's got a great wife behind him, supporting him. But man, he just put a big hug around us. And one of the things that David did that I think was really encouraging to me, but also really wise, was when David got here, he's like, who are some of the guys that aren't necessarily part of our tribe right now, but man, would be a part of our tribe and could definitely benefit from our support, but also we need more guys on the team. We need to reach more people and invite more people in. So, man, David became like a spiritual father to me, invited me in. So he demonstrated for me a love for planters. I had vocal cord surgery a couple years after we met. That dude showed up at the hospital at 7 a.m. I thought, honestly, honest to God, I thought he was there to visit like somebody else. I was like, what a coincidence that I run into David Butler at the hospital. And he just said, he's like, man, I'm here to see you. Gave a gift card to my wife, gave me a hug. Man, in 6-7 years of planting churches, I'd never, ever felt that kind of personal love and support. But also what David had in mind was if he could get these individual churches to work together as a family, that they could accomplish something greater than any one of them could accomplish on their own. So he didn't just have a love for planters, he had a passion for multiplication. Well, when you start to think resource, when you start to think care, coaching, training, multiplication, collaboration, it would be very difficult to find all of those things in one network. And so when I start to think of why a church planter needs a network, I would say he needs a network for any one of those things. I would say what's uniquely true of Send Network is that in Send Network, you find all of those things kind of in one place. And so my experience has been what I needed most was found really in this network. And it was through guys like David Butler and other leaders and other support that I received along the way.
That's good, Aaron. And I love that. I love, again, not to continue to tell your story, but that you say these things as a satisfied customer, not as a paid salesman on behalf of, you know, Send Network. And that's not, I mean, this is not a promotion for Send Network on this podcast, but I just love that, you know, you as a church planter bought into this vision and felt the impact of what a network could do for you and found so much of a home in Send Network. And man, I would add, I love what you talked about with these components of an effective network for planters. And I would just say to planters that are out there and you're looking for a network, what Aaron just described as a healthy family culture is a key essential component of a network. But I just wrote down a few others that I think would kind of complement that. I think a clear kingdom vision, I think, is important. I think there needs to be a clear and compelling kingdom vision. It's not just about planting churches, but it's about seeing the kingdom of God expand in cities and nations all over the world. I think there needs to be a shared set of values. You need to find a network that values what you value and that those values are rooted and grounded in Scripture. I think every solid network has seasoned practitioners, some fathers of the movement that others can emulate and look up to and walk in the paths and trails that they've blazed. I think proven strategies are a key essential component of networks, that what you talked about, some of those strategies that we have in place for care, for assessment, for training, for coaching, all those things are critical. And then I had it last on my list. You mentioned it already, but ample resources. I think that's something you come together to do. You do look for resources, but like you, I think it's way at the bottom of the list. I think money fuels God's mission, but money's not the mission. It fuels the mission of God. And so I think those are some of the other components that I would add to that list.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true and so helpful. And those things all speak to what's connecting to the planter right away. And now let's think about some of the ways that the network blesses the church's efforts across their areas locally, can maximize their ministry efforts. And then we can think about even across North America. So Aaron, how can and how has being a part of a network really helped maximize your church's ministry efforts there locally in Boston and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably what I would say is the greatest benefit of a network is that you know, God's dream for your city is bigger than your dream for your church. And He wants more for your city than what your church can deliver. My friend Neil McGlone would say, even if your church could reach everyone in your city, God won't allow it because He wants it to be more about His kingdom than He does your church. And I think part of that is helpful for us to think through, like, maximizing our impact means that I'm now going to see the need to collaborate with other churches in my region to do something that's greater than any one of our churches could accomplish on our own. And that's that kingdom vision that Vance is talking about. To be honest, that's probably what I get most excited about when we gather together and start to talk about Send Network. And man, I've heard Vance preach on this over and over and over again, not because he couldn't preach on something else, but because it's something that's so close to his heart and such a big part of his story. But the truth is, that's what we're all about. Me planting a successful church in Boston is too small of a vision to give my life to. What I want to see is I want to see Boston saturated with the gospel. That's what I want to see. I want to see everyone throughout greater Boston have multiple opportunities to hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Life Community Church cannot do that on our own. we are going to have to work together if we want to be a part of a movement. And so we lead our church over and over again. We bring in people from the outside. We highlight church planting, multiplication. We want the people in our church to see that we're about Jesus and his kingdom, not life, community, and our brand. We want to see the kingdom of God go forth. And so I think when you talk about maximizing impact, I don't know that there's a better thing for us to talk about in terms of why a network is so important. I think that's probably at least, you know, we talked about money being at the bottom of the list. I think that's at the top of the list. Like, we all want to see God do something bigger than any one of our churches can accomplish on our own.
Vance, anything you would add to the North American kind of landscape there, or even the nation's level?
I think it just expands on what Aaron was just talking about. Like, I mean, I think the church that God allowed me to be a part of in Las Vegas over 20 years, Hope Church, we were, if you want to talk success stories in church planting, we had the opportunity to see 80 churches planted over 20 years in the Western United States. And that's cool. But through Send Network, last year alone, our church got to be a part of the planting of 745 new churches. So like, it took us 20 years to get to 80. And in a year, through collaborating with others, we saw hundreds of churches planted across North America. One church could never do that by itself. Not only that, at Send Network in particular, we're also partnered with another agency called the International Mission Board. All of our planters give through a pool of money, where through the International Mission Board, we're part of 3,800 missionaries in 180 countries that last year saw 200,000 people come to Christ globally. Mm. Our church could never do that by ourselves. People, in the day that we're living in today, people ask me, why are you Southern Baptist? Man, with all the bad press and all the problems, the bottom line is because it's the best kingdom investment for my dollar. Like, I'm connected with some brothers who believe what I believe, and we saw last year in North America, over 700 new churches started. We saw through seminaries, 2,000 people graduate seminaries. We have, there were 20,000 churches planted overseas. You show me where I can give a dollar and have that kind of kingdom impact, then I'll be that. But until you can show me something better than that, it's why I'm a part of it. So being a part of a network and a family, regardless of the scale and the size, it's exactly what Aaron says. It maximizes impact because we can do more together than we can do by ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Vance, that's so good. I mean, in Boston, you know, 20 years ago, if you got 1,000 people to gather in churches on a weekend that where the gospel was being proclaimed, you know, like that would be hard to find. I'm telling you, Easter Sunday, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people were in gospel preaching churches in the greater Boston area. And that was a completely different landscape 20 years ago. A completely different landscape. And there's no way that any one of our churches could have ever accomplished that on our own without collaborating together.
Yeah. And I've been up there with you, Aaron. I've preached in your church. I've seen that activity and that landscape there in Boston. And you're right, man. There is a brotherhood and a family of churches that are on the move there planting churches. And it's something that's special to see. It's one of the highlight cities for us in Send Network of seeing real kingdom collaboration take place. And it's in like I love it that it's in an unexpected city. Like, this is not Memphis, Nashville, Birmingham. This is Boston. It's Boston. That's right. I love what God's doing there.
Yeah, it's so good. And listeners, you may not realize this, but if you go to sendnetworkgathering.com, if you're interested in church planting and you want to learn more maybe about Send Network, go there. We have a gathering this year in Boston. You can come check out, come kick the tires, come learn more about church planting. And maybe you're looking for a network to be a part of. Vance, you have something to add?
No, I think you're right. I mean, what's going on there at the gatherings next year, you can find it at sendnetwork.com. There's one in Boston, one in Long Beach, one in San Antonio. You don't have to be a part of Send Network to come to that gathering.
That's right.
It's an opportunity to invite people that want to talk church planning, collaboration together. We just want to join in what God's doing, you know, all over the world. And that's one of the ways that we can do that. And if you are looking for a network, man, we got a place for you. We'd love to have a conversation about what that could look like.
Let's do last 60 seconds each, last word here. Aaron, what advice would you give to a church planter who's looking to find a church planting network, isn't sure? Well, 60 seconds, you bumped into him at a conference. What would you tell him?
Man, I guess I would tell him all the things that Vance said earlier. Make sure they got shared values, kingdom vision, all those things. Make sure they're a fit for you. But here's what I'm going to tell you. brotherhood, community, movement, those things are built, not found. You can't be one foot in and one foot out. If you're going to be a part of a network, you got to be all in. And when you press in like that, you can truly be a part of something special. But man, don't be a fan of your network. Be a part of it. And so I think that's what I would encourage anybody, man. Just jump in with both feet, find someone you align with, and be a part of building something special.
Vance, you're in the elevator. What do you tell this church planner?
I'd say there's a lot of great networks out there. We've talked a lot today about Send Network, but networks like ARC, New Things, Strategic Launch, Stadia, there's some really strong church planning networks in North America. We're privileged to be one of those at Send Network. Here's what I would say. The three biggest issues I see with planters failing on the field are family health, loneliness, and resources. And being a part of a network addresses all of those things. It brings health to your family. It makes you understand you're not alone, and it brings resources beyond what you have on your own to the table. If you're a church planter and you're not a part of a network, you could really take a major step forward in making sure you're not one of those that fail by becoming a part of a network. Find one that fits you and get involved.
It's a good word. Go find a network, brothers. Well, thank you for listening to the New Churches Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.